Father, we just come before you this morning, knowing that your hand is upon us, doing a mighty work that only you can do, a work so far beyond us that we can believe that you are the author and finisher of everything that's going on in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to come with me to the book of Hebrews. If I don't take my notes out, I'll be able to help you, huh? Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 1. I'm going to be using the NIV, but there's a couple of places that I'm going to ask you to just add a word because the Amplified gives it a little bit deeper meaning and makes a big difference. It says, therefore, holy brothers, holy, not full of holes, holy. That's brothers and sisters, right? Who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. Who appointed you? Who appointed you?
The Father.
Yeah. So, kind of take a peek at your neighbor and say you were appointed by your Father God. So get with the action. Well, if you're appointed to do a job and you don't get with the action, what happens? You think you're going to get a good report by being lazy or not doing what you've been called to do? Pretty cool, huh? Fix your thoughts on Jesus the Apostle, the High Priest. The Apostle means the sent one. So he was sent to wake you and me up. Okay? The High Priest, meaning intercessor for all of us, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. In all of God's what? Now, how many were in God's house in the time of Moses? A couple of million. Right? So, the writer of Hebrews is talking to us about a house with a couple of million people in it. Yes? And the word that God gave me this morning about this message is the tent you and I live in. The tent. This physical body is called a tent. St. Paul calls it that. Peter calls it that. So you better start thinking about this body as a tent. Now, when it was a tent full of garbage, it was probably sitting in the city slums or enjoyed slum life. But now that it's filled with the Holy Ghost, it's what? A part of a great big house. Okay? And we'll go there a little bit afterwards. Okay? Now, let's go back to verse 3. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of all. Does your Bible say everything? Well, how well do you think you could construct the house of prayer if God is the one that's the builder? If you and I started to advertise and we put all kinds of stuff, God showed me a long time ago, He could fill this house tomorrow. But what would we have? A bunch of people under an anointing of flesh, doing fleshy things, accomplishing fleshy things that would have no value in the kingdom. You know why? I'll tell you why. Howard Pittman came into my life years back. And he drove me to my knees. Because he said he had been a man at 50 or 40, late 40s, early 50s, who died literally. His body literally emptied of his blood. And he went before God the Father. He was a pastor. He was doing street ministry. He was doing everything that he could in downtown New Orleans. Okay? He adopted him and his wife, 20-something kids, brought them all up, and did everything for them. And when he stood before the Father looked at him and he said, "And what are you doing here?" And he said, "I want in." And the Father says, "And what did you do for me?" And he began to give him a list of what he had thought he did for God. And God told him point blank to his face, "You did it for yourself. Didn't you get a great reputation?" Who was he building the house for? Himself. But did he realize it? He had no clue who he was building for. He had zero information. And God said, "The door's closed, but if you do go in there, guess where your position's going to be?" So he was a believer. He would have made it into heaven by the skin of his teeth. But he says, if you go back and you teach my people about what the darkness has done to the human race and what God has intended for his human race, I will build a house through you that will be valuable to me, because you won't get the credit for it. I will build it through you. And then, within the next, I believe, 3 years, he went to 50-something countries declaring the message that God had given him. To send the body a message. Repent, because you're working for yourself. Repent, you're trying to build your house on your own. And repent, because if you're trying to build your family on your own, you're going to goof it up. And you won't get credit before God, because He wants to build your family. He wants to build your house. And He wants to build this house. This fleshy house. This tent. He wants to rebuild it in the image of... You're sleeping. In the image of whom? In the image of Himself. He doesn't want you to look like your mom and dad. Sorry, son. He wants you to look like the Heavenly Father, full of grace and mercy and love and compassion and all the things that are of God. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 5. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. Over what? Over his own house, his papa's house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Whoa, wow. We are his house. I remember singing a song. This is the temple. This is the temple of the... This is the temple of the... Yeah. But now, see, God is expanding us. He's trying to tell us something. He wants to build this house on his way of doing it, not on yours or mine. 1 Corinthians 3:16. That's God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Confirming it. God's Spirit lives where? In me. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? In you. Not on the outside looking in. He's already in you. Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Therefore, while you're constructing all this stuff on your own self, what are you going to get? Zero for benefits. See, I remember sitting in the campground with Howard and his wife and their little pooch, talking over what he had experienced. And he said, Kim, the impact on me was so intense. He says, yes, my body was in the intensive care unit down in the hospital. I had been dead for 20 minutes. I had no consciousness of my wife or family or kids. I had no consciousness of all that stuff because it wasn't important. What was important is, had I done what God's plan was for my life? And I had not done it. He said, I had rejected the Holy Spirit. I didn't need that gift of tongues. And guess what? God had a different opinion. Oh, I didn't believe in demons, because after all, my denomination didn't believe in demons. He said, guess what? God took me to hell, showed me the demons. And I didn't like the trip. What am I saying to you? Building it on your own, for your own pleasure, you will fail. That's tough cookies. But it's the truth. You know, I remember one time, Gino had preached a message. And boy, I'll tell you, it drove me to my knees. And I said to him the following day, I said, boy, you know, I said, you hit pretty hard yesterday. He says, yes, who am I going to obey, you or him? Who am I going to obey, you or him? Am I going to please the body or am I going to please my Father? How do I expect to stand before him someday and have him say, well done, girl. Well done, young lady. Well done, young man. If I don't give you the truth. If I give you the truth and you build on it, we'll make it together as a house full of God's Spirit. And, by the way, Linda, thank you for the dream. It is awesome. It confirms something that was spoken over me when I was in Spokane, Washington. And I'll tell you, I've already seen the beginnings of the fruit of that. Do I understand it fully? No. But God will get the glory. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And this one, I'd like you to take in the Amplified. Because 2 Corinthians 6:16 will scare you. Like it scared me. What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in and with and among them. And will walk in. If that's not in your Bible, insert it on the side. You need to put it in there. Because it's in. Inside. God inside of you and me. He will walk from the inside of me. And with and among them. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Or shall be my people. You know, my greatest desire is to see God's Holy Spirit so alive that when sickness and darkness comes, you will not be able to stand it. You're going to reject it. You're going to push it out. You're going to say, no way, it's not coming into me. And you're going to stand against it. And you're going to take that meal that heals until you are victorious. You're going to be so full of light that no spark of a demonic bug will be able to bite you. Because you know what? If they try, they'll die. You know, In the history of the martyrs, there was a gentleman way back in the Black Plague times, 1300s, 1400s. Does anybody know what the numbers are? 1400s. All the doctors of that day could not understand this particular man. He was full of God. But when he would take his hand and put it under the microscope, and they would literally put that black plague upon his hand, every germ would die and it would just fall. Why? Why? Because he was so full of light, the darkness couldn't live. See, and if we begin to comprehend, when we come to that communion table and we believe what he said about it, we will be changed and we'll be healed. Why do you think Corinthians says, why are there sick among you? Because it wasn't common for sickness to be in the body of Christ. Today, well, we feel so sorry for them. We're praying for them to die. And sometimes that's the only answer. I'm not saying death is not a part of the future, because it can be. But I'll tell you what the perfect plan is. It's resurrection. It is so that you will become so full of light that even death won't touch you. It'll be afraid of you. You know why? Because there'll be so much of the body and blood of Christ Jesus in you that that thing will not even be able to tempt coming near you. The last enemy to be conquered is death. So, what are we waiting? Another generation? Why should we wait for another generation when we've got the job right now? See? We've got the job. We have been given the mantle, and we can either wear it or drop it. Amen? We can either do it or wait for somebody else. Heavy, but truth. Ephesians 2:20 says, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. God gave me a vision about somebody's place. And the vision was that there was a great big foundation, very thick, very deep into the ground. But there was a hole in it. And now they were starting to build the walls up. Well, guess what? You can build one or two, three stories. No cracks. The hole don't show. But build five or six stories. Then what happens? The weight increases. What happens to that hole? The part on the top starts to what? Crumble. And what happens? The whole darn thing comes falling down. What does God want? He wants to have Jesus in that hole. There's a hole in your foundation. Ask for the Lord to put his rock in there. And the Lord will put his own self and build you up and build you into what he needs to have you become. Verse 22. In him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What is that building? It's a house. It's a house of prayer for all nations, all nationalities, all kinds of backgrounds. And he wants to make a specialist out of you. But not according to what your demands are, but according to his plan. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Take a look at your neighbor. Say, I don't know what kind of rock you are. But I know Jesus is on the inside. And I need you next to me. And I'll be next to you. until this foundation is solid.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, showing you we are in need of each other. You cannot build a house with one brick. Okay? Now, I could talk to you about my son. Because when he bought my parents' house, the late early 90s, middle 90s, his first job was what, son?
Fix
the bricks. And the bricks were lined up on great big stones that came from the granite quarries in Munson at the turn of the 19th century, or the beginning of the 19th century. So I think the house was built in 1890-something or 1900-something. We're not sure exactly. But that was his first job. How many weeks did you actually put in all your spare time repairing the foundation?
Every weekend,
do a little bit, patch it up, take out the loose bricks, put new mortar, fix it, sand it, clean it. And guess who is the inspector? Yeah. And if we got into some trouble, we found a solution. The house is still in good condition because somebody took time to fix the foundation. If you have somebody next to you, take their hand right now. Say, Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is truly on the job. And He's going to fix any loose stones. And if I'm a loose stone, Lord, put me where I need to be. Solidify me with Holy Ghost mortar so that this house of prayer will accomplish what God needs out of me for His glory. And all the glory goes to Christ Jesus. And those who are listening on the internet, Lord, pull them in. Make them into a reality of who they really are in Christ Jesus. And let these scriptures become clear to them. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. Share some hugs with each other.